Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, July 29th, and I have news. Danny has left the show. On Friday was her last day, and we weren't here that day, but that's when I got the news. And she's moving on to other interests and endeavors, and we wish her all the best. So we're on the move on looking for a new co-host, and I'll be interviewing and auditioning several over the next few days. And we'll see. You guys will also get to decide whether you want to or not, who you like and who you don't like. But it doesn't really matter. I choose whoever I want anyway. So it doesn't matter what you guys say. But we definitely need a co-host in the show because that's the way it was designed in the beginning. And that's the way it's always been. But I do have a great guest in the studio. I'll get to them in just a moment. And I just wanted to bring up the shooting in California, Northern California, where three are dead and about 11 are injured because this guy decided to shoot up a fair in Gilroy, California. So we continue with that. A lot of emotion in this country right now. And I don't really like to talk much about this because it's just endless. I mean, there's no answers. There's no easy answers at any rate. And then a couple more things we'll bring up during the show. I want to introduce our guest today. We're joined by Adita Lang. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thanks
you need to get
me.
Closer to the mic. Yes. Of course. Thank you for joining us. And you brought a couple friends with you.
I did.
Who are going to say hi to us right now. So you have a son and a daughter. Gorgeous kids.
Thank you.
Like their mom, of course. And so what is your name? Say it to everybody.
Mila.
Mila. What a cool name that is. Does it have a meaning or does it just sound good?
Well, it's milagros in Spanish, so miracles.
Oh.
Because she was a little bit harder to conceive, I guess you'd say, and then there she popped out.
Wow. So you're a miracle child.
She's a miracle child.
That's awesome. And then you brought your son, too.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Say something.
Hi.
What's your name?
Yeah, what's your name?
Nash.
Nash. Welcome to the show. So you guys are visiting us from Florida, you were telling me.
Yeah.
And where in Florida do you guys live?
We live in Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So the center of everything.
The center of everything that's happening there, yes.
Yeah. Is that where you grew up too?
No, actually, I was a military brat. I was born here in Victorville.
Uh-huh.
And
really,
lived in
Victorville.
Riverside.
Yep. Desert town.
Desert town.
Nobody ever goes there except passing by to go to Vegas.
Exactly.
Passing through it.
But I was born there.
Yeah.
And
so there was like a military base there? Okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go
so
on.
I've traveled everywhere. I lived in Spain. I think probably some of my formative years were in Spain.
Oh,
and then
oh, cool.
Went to Texas and landed in Miami.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So what was it your dad in the military?
Yeah.
What was he doing there? Is it anything secret or
yeah, he was a doctor.
Oh, he was a doctor.
He was a doctor. My father was a radiologist.
Uh-huh.
And he was a colonel in the military, and then
wow.
He ended up retiring and teaching at the University of Miami Medical School.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys were a military family. Did you have any interest in that too? In
no.
Military? No.
No, and my dad really wanted me to be a doctor. And then, you know, the day that I told him I was going to do the preventative medicine route,
uh-huh.
He was a little shocked, but
really?
He got over it. Yeah, he did get over it.
He was going to have a heart attack. Yeah, I know. That's usually what happens when you tell parents your plans and they don't match theirs
yeah.
for you, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you have any siblings?
Nope, just me.
No, so it's just you, huh? And what was your mom doing? Just raising you or did she have...
No, she was a doctor also, but she was she was a medical dentist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So family of doctors.
Yep.
So it's not so much the military as the medicine part of it that bound you guys.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Very cool. So And so in Spain, I'm fascinated with that. Where in Spain did you live?
We lived in Madrid, and there was a U.S. military base there called Torrejón.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been closed down since then, but it was there, and that my dad was stationed there, and so we lived there.
Wow. And so, obviously, you speak very good Spanish.
Yeah.
Fluent.
Yeah.
Right. Even with the accent and everything, to the point where we can't understand. But Madrid, I understand. So, very nice. You know, the background of my dad's family were Spanish. They were in Spain. Mm-hmm. But in 1492, all the Jews were kicked out of Spain. So they ended up all over Europe, and my dad's family ended up in Greece.
Oh,
so that's wonderful. Where he was born, you know. But I always feel, but they grew up speaking Ladino, which is a mixture of Spanish and Hebrew. So they would speak that so people wouldn't understand them, you know,
uh-huh.
So other people wouldn't understand them because they were being persecuted all the time, you know. I mean, the Inquisition and everything,
yeah,
in Spain way back when. So, but they grew up speaking Ladino, which is partly Spanish. So I picked up a lot of it, you know. And when he came here, he was able to speak to people from, to Hispanic people just fine, you know. So, so that's why I have a connection to Spain, but I've never been.
Okay.
I'd like to go see it, you know. How many years were you there?
I was there for probably about 5 years living, and then afterwards in fitness and in health, which is what I do,
right.
I was the bilingual girl. So they would send me a lot of times to go teach courses in Spain, which was great for me.
Yeah. It always helps to know more than one language,
yeah,
right? You can always end up being a translator, if nothing else, an interpreter.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God. And the world is so amazing. And when you know other languages, people open up their doors to you.
Yeah. I know. I was thinking, if you want to make money real quick, learn Chinese, you know, because it's in such demand.
Yeah.
That it's unbelievable, you know. Not a lot of people know it, and yet business people between China and here need to communicate, mm-hmm, you know. So if all you know is the language, man, you can make a lot of money. I know people like that,
yeah,
you know, and they help people buy real estate here and invest from China here, and all she does is introduce the people, kind of connect between them, and she makes a percentage out of these huge properties and assets and stuff, you know, just for being able to speak Chinese.
Yeah.
So, but at any rate, if you're hearing noises in the background, that's because we're really cornered here with the, there's people working on our bathrooms, upgrading our bathrooms here, and the doors is like, the walls are like next door to us, so we can hear all the construction and everything. You'll hear some drilling sometimes, but that's, hey, you know, that's what we can offer. So you'll have to live with it. So Adida, you're a fitness, what, expert, coach?
I call myself a holistic lifestyle coach because it's
okay.
Basically everything that encompasses health.
So it's food and exercise and...
Well, when I teach about health, I teach about food and nutrition, exercise and movement, sleep and relaxation, and happiness. And if you can balance that all four... That's a truly healthy individual.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the sleep because I have problems sleeping. No, but truly, and I've said this on the show, I'm actually supposed to go and pick up a machine, a CPAP machine, because
okay.
I have sleep apnea.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I realize sleep is such a precious thing and I don't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is they measured, they give us a monitor and everything, and everybody went... I'm saying everybody because it was like a class. So they each got a machine to take home, a monitor actually the first time, to see how you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we connected it to our bodies and everything. And they were saying, and then we went back to another class and they gave us a scale. And they said, look, if you're like up to 5 apneas an hour, that's okay. You know, over 30, it's severe. An hour, right?
Yeah.
I was at 60. So, which means every minute my body is struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
It's like complete stoppage there. So, I felt vindicated because all these years I've been going so tired all the time. You know, it's like when you go to sleep for 7 hours, 8 hours, and you get up more tired than you were when you went to sleep, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired all the time. So, Let's talk a little bit about sleep and the importance of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a person's life. How many hours do you recommend? I mean, obviously not everybody has the 8 hours because they're very busy and stuff, but do we need 8 hours?
You know what? We're all individuals.
And right.
That's the first thing I'm going to say. Ideally, what you need is you need to wake up going, okay, I'm ready to get up. Not like I need a forklift to pull me out of bed and I need to hit the snooze button 10 times.
Right.
You want to be able to just get up and say, okay, I'm ready.
Right. I'm fresh. I'm refreshed.
Exactly.
Renewed.
So for some people, that might be 8 hours. For some people, that might be 10. For others, it might be 7 or 6.
Right.
It's again, that's a very individual thing because what it has to do with is we have sleep cycles. And a sleep cycle is about 60 to 70 minutes at night. And that sleep cycle is when we are in deep sleep. And so we'd have a sleep cycle. Maybe we'd have a little bit of restless sleep and we'd have another sleep cycle. And so if we have enough sleep cycles, we're going to wake up refreshed.
Right.
Most people, and it's kind of fascinating to me because the Fitbit, those electronic watches that everyone's wearing.
Right.
They monitor your sleep if you put them on.
So yeah, I have the Apple Watch and I did that. Yeah.
You can see the chart and you can see where your sleep cycles are and where you have the disrupted sleep. So like I always tell people, it's kind of like process of elimination. Okay, first off, your room should be pitch dark. And every LED light from like all of these electronic gadgets, those need to be covered as well. And the reason they need to be covered is because if you were to close your eyes and I took a flashlight and shined it at your closed eyes, you'd see the light come through, right?
So
here you are deep asleep and you roll over and one of those tiny lights hits your eye. It doesn't wake you up fully, but it starts to wake you up. So now you've disrupted your sleep cycle.
Right.
And the thing about a sleep cycle is you can't go back to your original sleep cycle. You have to start a new one. So you got disrupted sleep. Okay, so let's start again.
Right. Just like a dream. You wake up from the dream. You want to go back to it.
Yes.
And you can't.
So you got to make sure, you know, I basically take cardboard and a hole puncher, and it sounds silly, but I cut all these little circles.
Uh-huh.
And I use those and I tape them over all of those LED lights.
Wow.
So room pitch dark. That's the first thing. The next thing, it needs to be colder than usual for you.
Right.
So whatever your temperature is, your room should be a little bit colder than that because that'll help induce sleep as well.
Right.
Then the other thing is that naturally, and we've got a lot of hormones, but I'm just going to talk about two. So our daytime is our cortisol and our nighttime is our serotonin. And they can't work together. So one has to end before the other one can start.
I see.
Okay. And so your cortisol is daytime. Things that once you're awake, your cortisol is on. And in prehistoric man, once the moon came up, our cortisol would start to go down. So our serotonin could go up. And by the time it was pitch dark outside, we'd go to bed because we had no lights.
Right.
Right. That's what our body did. Now we get home, we turn on all the lights. We've got the TV blaring. We got radios going on. We got all sorts of stuff happening. So we're not allowing our body to slowly go down again to allow the serotonin to come in.
I see.
So I typically recommend to people, I think dimmers are phenomenal. And at night, you should have the dimmers on. You shouldn't have bright lights. You should have them dimmed.
Really?
So you can start working your way down to slumber.
To sleeping.
You know, and then all these phones and electronic devices, they have what's called night shift. And so that night shift will take the blue light out.
Oh.
And so blue light stimulates cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want that on. So I set computers and phones all so that at 5 o'clock, the night shift turns on. So it gives you a yellow screen.
Oh.
So that way, if you're going to be on electronics, you're not stimulating yourself awake.
Right.
You're kind of toning it down.
Because that light keeps you awake, right? I know, man. I'm like on, you know, I can stay up so late on the iPad because that's what it does, you know?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm dead tired, but I can stay awake.
See, these are, like I said before, it's kind of process of elimination. Like for your iPad, set it. There's a button in the display that has night shift and set it so it automatically goes on. I do that on all the gadgets.
Right.
It just automatically sets.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, this might not solve all your problems tonight.
Right.
But these are little things that are going to help you start to get deeper and deeper sleep.
That's true. Right. Now, because when I put my my Apple Watch on with the iPhone, I was measuring my sleep and everything. So now, and that's what I wanted to ask you, how long of a deep sleep do we get a night? About, like, what would be ideal?
Ideal would be six cycles of about 75 minutes each.
Wow. Because you know how much quality sleep I get? 15 minutes. The whole night.
No wonder you're tired.
No wonder I'm tired all the time. So I'm hoping the CPAP machine, I'm supposed to pick one up. They say it works for everybody. But I tried it on. It's not very comfortable, but I guess you get used to it. But I do need that sleep. I'm feeling that it's affecting my health, and that's what really you came here to talk about, yeah. is this whole concept of living a holistic life, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
Thinking about everything. Right. Now, so obviously you live that kind of lifestyle, and with your kids too, that's mm-hmm. the lifestyle you're giving them and stuff. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all I know. So
yeah, that's true. Is it hard work though to stay healthy?
No,
like exercise and eating well and stuff doesn't bother you, right? You don't get a lot of McDonald's, but that's okay, right? Or maybe sometimes. No.
They don't know what it is.
Really? So not even once, just to taste it.
Have you guys had McDonald's without me?
No.
Yeah.
No.
See, they don't even know what it is.
A bathroom there.
There, we did. We stopped at a bathroom there. That's all we've done. That's it.
You're probably the only family in America. That's cool. Well, yeah, if you let them taste it, they might actually like it, but it's so bad for you, you know. So you're lucky to have a mom that won't settle on fast food, you know. And I know for a while my kids, that's all they wanted, and but we limited it, you know, maybe on the weekend and things like this. Once a week you can have it, you know. But no, so how did you get into this now? I mean, this is a lot to learn, a lot of information to pass on to people. Yeah, how did you get into it?
You know, I started in health and fitness when I was 16 years old.
Really?
And so I've been involved in it for over 30 years.
Wow.
And I initially went into it because I was in high school and my mom and I weren't speaking. And someone said, hey, they opened up a new gym and they have this aerobics program. Maybe you guys should go and enjoy that. And maybe that would help, you know, bring you guys together. So we went, my mother uh-huh. hated it, and I stayed.
Yeah.
And at that point, the owners were like, you know, the only way we get aerobics instructors is that we have to, you know, basically train our students. Right. And if you'd like to, you're young, and we're not sure if the adults will listen to you, but we'll train you yeah. and see what happens.
Right.
And at this point, we were teaching aerobics on concrete, barefoot, and using records.
Oh my God, barefoot is the worst for aerobics.
But we didn't, there wasn't any specialized shoes for teaching classes, so really? We just did it barefoot. And so,
not even regular tennis shoes or something?
Not at that point.
Really?
Not at that point. Wow. So, you know, I loved it and I got into it and the adults listened to me. So I was like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 18 here, actually in Anaheim, they had the very first aerobic conference by a company called IDEA. And a very dear friend of mine who lives here in Los Angeles, Ken Allen, he invited me to come and teach with him. Oh. And I was like, okay, I'm 18 years old. This is really cool. I can do this. Right? Sure. And I went and we had over 500 people in class and I was enamored. I was like, this is it. I love this.
That's for me.
And this started me. I was traveling around the world, mm-hmm. you know, basically setting up different kind of fitness programs, different kind of fitness trainings. And loved every minute of it. And while I was traveling, I started going to college for exercise physiology, but I couldn't make it to class because, you know, a trip to Hong Kong or Venezuela yeah. or somewhere else was much more exciting.
yeah.
And so on that note, some friends of mine said, you know what, do homeschooling.
Yeah.
And so then I changed my major from exercise physiology to nutrition.
Oh.
And I did that homeschooled. But homeschooled at that day was they'd send you a giant box of books. It's not like today where it's on an iPad. Yeah. It was a big box of books, and I basically traveled with my books.
So did you teach yourself, or did someone teach you? I mean, at home? I mean, what
well,
kind of...
Well, no, so I mean...
Because homeschooling is often associated with the parent teaching the kid, no?
Well, no, but this is university now.
Right, I know, but yeah, that's no, why I'm asking.
This is books. They send you outlines. They okay, send you curriculum, so and you follow, you fill it in, and you send it into your teacher, wow. and they grade it for you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
A different world back then, huh?
It really was.
I mean, we had to go to libraries and everything to do research and stuff. Where did you go to college at?
So I initially went to University of Texas in Austin. Then I went to the University of Miami because I had moved to Miami at that point. And then after that, I finished with the Clayton College of Natural Medicine.
Oh, okay. But great schools you went to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. And how long were you in school? Like the traditional 4 years, or did you have to take more?
I think I took longer. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I took longer just because I was kind of doing it on the road so much.
Yeah.
So it probably took me 5 years to finish.
Right.
But, I got a bachelor's degree.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant. But God, it must have been like really a lot of work for you to do Plus,
but it's fun. It's, yeah. I love to research things, and I still do. So,
really?
Yeah.
Hmm. So you've read so much that you came out with your own book and a couple books, actually.
Yes.
And so I guess we can discuss the book. And that's pretty much what you show people, what you teach people, right?
Absolutely.
You put it all in a book. The book is called Superpowers, The Busy Woman's Guide to Health and Happiness. And yeah, so I see nutrition, exercise, sleep, and happiness. Now, so happiness, you say, is a requirement, right? Now, so, and also what this implies is that people have the ability to control it and to choose happiness, right?
Yep.
Just like you can choose to eat well or not, you can choose to exercise or not exercise. You can choose to not have enough sleep, and then you can choose not to be happy.
Absolutely.
Or be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
Is that like followed from the first three? Like if you eat well, you exercise, you sleep, you're happy. No?
Oh, not always.
No?
Listen, I have met some cranky bodybuilders who eat really well, work out very well, but they're cranky. They don't sleep.
Right.
And they're just not very nice people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're everywhere. You know, you got a mix of everything. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, happiness is our own responsibility. I think a lot of people, especially I think the younger generation, it's kind of like they blame things on other people. And it's like, no, it's
and
how
situations
you interpret it.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, my son is like complaining about the way the city engineers are doing the stoplights on the road because it makes him wait too long in the car. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, can you just say, it's me and I'm impatient.
Yeah.
And stop blaming all the system and the government and, you know, every bit. So you're right, you know, and I see that happening.
It's all how you
no
take a look at it.
Responsibility, yeah.
You know, we came here to visit and to drive around and we're playing around and stuff. And everyone, the first comment most of the locals say to me is like, yeah, all the traffic. And I'm saying, well, it's not bothering us. I already came here knowing that there's traffic.
Right.
So it's not like it was a surprise to me. I even told the kids, I'm like, guys, we're going to be in the car for a long time, so get over it.
Right. Right.
And look around. Look at everything that's
exactly.
around and enjoy the scenery because we're going to be in the car for a while.
Exactly.
That's
but
it.
That's okay for a tourist.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when we spend the day on the freeway every day and traffic that doesn't move, it gets hard.
Of course.
But what are you going to do? But you're right, though. I mean, you come into a new place. You came here to have fun. And it's just to look at the positive side of things, right?
Yep.
Are you guys like that, too? Do you try to be positive about things? Or sometimes you go, you know, why are things like this?
I be positive.
You're positive, usually? You believe in good things?
Yeah.
That's cool. How about you, Nash?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. How old are you, Nash?
Me, I'm 13.
13. And you?
9.
Really? Wow.
She just turned 9.
Really?
On the 27th. Yep.
You get some nice, I mean, first of all, they're very nice, very polite. But secondly, they're not afraid to speak, you know, and they have that confidence that, hey, I can be on the radio. I'm just fine, you know. So you've done a tremendous job. You're an example of how your own well-being can pass on to your next generation.
Absolutely.
To your kids.
You know, we are growing. I say that I'm growing in adults from scratch.
Right.
Right. And so what I give them is going to produce the adult that they're going to become.
That's true. Right.
And that has to do with their food. It has to do with their life and their experiences in this world and
that's
everything
true,
else.
Right. Now, do you see your friends living that? I mean, do you guys do exercise and stuff?
At school, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for PE back home.
Right.
We have three sports each day.
Right.
So
at school.
We have one sport every day.
Really? Okay, so schools keep them fit, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Has this gotten better or worse in schools?
Well, I mean, I think that in the average, most schools are not putting in as much physical activity as they should be. Their school really encourages physical activity, which is a fabulous thing. I think now the research is kind of really pulling through and more schools are saying, hey, I think we need to incorporate this in.
Right.
There. It's so important. We got to move the body.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, when you don't, you feel it, you know? And it's also, I mean, I haven't been exercising a lot lately, I have to admit. But when I did, and it was, when I do go back in my memories to the 80s, I guess, with aerobics and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So So wait a minute. Without shoes, you probably had to do it like low impact, right? Or were you actually jumping?
No, we were actually jumping. We were getting hurt. That's how shoes. Oh my God. That's how the aerobic shoes started. Is we're getting injured.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Wait, you need some kind of padding underneath those feet."
You really do.
So then they got the shoes. Then they got the special flooring. Then you know, everything kind of came into
the
play.
The parquet floors.
Wait, this flooring.
Yeah, the parquet floors. Yeah, it's like wood. Yeah, for sure. I remember that too. And yeah, I was very active way back then. I was in my, 20s. Yeah.
Were you sleeping
20s.
Better? You're probably sleeping, but you need the exercise for sleep too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the body's exhausted by the time I get up now. It's for sure. You know, if it has to wake up every minute, yeah, there's no sleep going on at all there. Jeez. I mean, but they're saying a lot of people have it. Yeah.
For PE in my old school, it was basically another recess.
Because, really?
They made us do like five exercises and then let us
and that's
let
it,
us
just
free.
Play, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really much exercise.
Yeah, I know. But, hopefully they're, now you're saying that some schools put more emphasis on it.
Yeah, I think more and more schools are starting to kind of get on the bandwagon that they really need to be incorporating that. Because at the same time, too, that, you know, you can't expect a child to sit at their desk for 5 hours at a time without any kind of movement and pay attention and focus.
Right, or put them in a gym for an hour or two, you know. So I think when they're with peers, with their friends and stuff, and they play games, they exercise, things like that, it's probably more encouraging for them to continue, you
know,
and participate in it.
You know, and I talk about that in my book because that's the one thing. The book was basically designed for busy women, although everything applies for men as well.
Okay.
But, you know, my key is to make it very simple for people to understand. And so, you know, I always say that back in the day, I probably messed up exercise for a lot of people. And the reason I did that is I would tell my clients, listen, you need to work out 3 to 4 times a week for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And when they came back to me and they said, oh, I only got in, you know, 38 minutes or something like that, I would go, oh, you didn't get your 60 minutes in.
Right.
So then individuals kept saying, you know what, I guess I won't exercise because I don't have 60 minutes.
Right.
And now they're saying, no. Listen, every bit of activity means something. So
exactly.
just incorporate
just
it
do
in.
It. Instead of feeling guilty, you can't finish your 60 minutes.
Yep.
Because that's crazy, really. You know, if you don't have the time or the inclination to do it for 60 minutes, it doesn't mean you failed.
Correct.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. So we're talking to Adina Lang, and her book is Superpowers. And I love the design. I always notice these things because I'm a graphic designer too. Yeah. And this book is a lot of fun to look at and to read through. And who did the graphic design for you?
I did some of it, and then Janice Saffel did the rest of it.
Amazing. So you're into this stuff, too.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it.
And
I wanted it
to be fun. It's supposed to be basically, you know, by the time you've finished filling out all the different little sheets that are in there and stuff, it's supposed to be like your own personal instruction manual for living a healthy life.
Right. And there's room for things to fill in and all that stuff.
And there's
stuff,
recipes and
recipes.
Workouts.
Yeah, absolutely. See, this is something I would put together, you know, like the comic book look.
Yeah.
That's awesome. My daughter's into comic books a lot. Now she started to work for like selling and trading comic books on eBay and things like that. So for this company. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. And she's going to art school and stuff. But so I don't know where that'll take her, but hopefully at least she'll find something she loves, you know. Nash, do you have any thoughts about what you want to do when you grow up, or is it too soon?
No, I mean, right now.
What would you like to do if you could?
Right now, I'm kind of pushing two things.
Okay.
One is since back home, my dad he's a firefighter.
Wow.
So I'm kind of pushing a firefighter, or like an electronic music DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually the thing. It's with music, you know. I wanted to be a rock star too, and everybody I meet is the same way. So there you go. That's what you love is music.
Yeah.
Right. But you would go into okay, so you have are you playing any music instrument or anything?
I mean, at school I play guitar every Thursday, but like when I was younger, I used to wake up every day and like just play the drums.
Really?
It was so fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you guys had to deal with the banging and stuff.
It's minor to me. I think as long as they're having fun and enjoying it, that noise thing to me doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the time, Mila wasn't there, so it was just me. It was just me, mom, and dad.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, dad was the only one sleeping at the time.
Really?
So it was like, to wake him up, I had to do it.
Yeah. And they don't get to sleep a lot, right, firefighters? I mean, they, what, like 48-hour shifts or something?
Well, I mean, back in the day, that's the way he had it.
I think now it's like, I think it's now like a day.
Yeah, they have, like, they
24 hours?
Yeah, 24, I think it's a 24-hour shift.
Right.
He's a fire chief.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like...
So he gets the good hours?
Yeah.
He did.
Well, but I'm sure he paid his dues before he became chief, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was actually with the beginning of the Cubes Game Fire Department. Like he was one of many that,
uh-huh,
that like made Cubes Game Fire Rescue a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Wow. So you must be very proud of your family.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, you've accomplished a lot. Yeah. And so you qualified to write a book like this, right? No. You're a great example of it. Move the microphone just a little bit that way because I want you in front of it.
Got
like
it.
That,
okay.
I'm like struggling with the volume all the time, but I want us to hear you, you know?
Okay.
And if you notice, this sounds like you're closer. But at any rate, I have a lot of admiration for first responders. And so he's a firefighter, well, the chief. Yeah. And, well, okay, you just distracted.
Sorry.
All right, we're going back to the book. So, so let's talk a little bit about nutrition now. What you put in your body is very important.
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
And, you know, and that would apply, you know, since we were talking about your sleep earlier, too.
Right.
Foods can also stimulate your energy or they can help bring you down to slumber. So those are things that you want to look at as well.
That's true. So if I drink coffee at 11 o'clock at night, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. You want like chamomile tea or kava tea or something
right.
like that.
Something to calm you down, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll have to think about that. I started actually doing, is it good to do exercise like not long before you go to bed?
For some people, that stimulates them to wake up. And for others, it kind of works on getting them to sleep. So that really depends on the individual.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how you feel when you end up exercising, if that makes you a little bit sleepy or if it doesn't. So that would be really, really individual.
I guess so. Because I just bought a bike and the only time I can ride it is at night because it's so hot during the day, you know?
Yeah.
So you wait for the sun to go down for it to get a little cooler outside. But then I'm like at 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, wow, it would be awesome to go biking now. So I do, you know? But,
okay.
But the thing is, you have to understand, I don't have a problem going to sleep. I guess my body just struggles with it. So I managed to go to sleep. Fine, I get sufficiently tired enough. But I see what you mean about the light, because when I take a nap in the afternoon, I can't get it completely dark in the room, mm-hmm. and that sleep is not as good.
You know what? Use those eye masks.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And it's kind of comical because, you know, I don't know, from the years of traveling, I had a bunch of eye masks from different flights that I would take, and they'd give you the eye mask, and I'd never used them, never once.
Right.
And so I recently had moved into a new apartment, and I didn't have shades, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to whip out one of those eye masks and try it.
Yeah.
And I tried it, and I was like, this is amazing sleep.
Wow.
It really was pretty amazing. Yeah. And so now every once in a while I use it. He started using it. We all started using the eye mask.
Because, like, in my room, I don't have blackouts. So,
right.
So, like, the street lights come in to my room. And I'm
at night.
Dang.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but it actually really helps. So I would recommend that big time.
Yeah, that's true. For naps in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, a wealth of information, man. I mean, you're really amazing. Do you want to talk about your upcoming book, too?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay. So this one's called Superpowers, The Family Kitchen. All right.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, so that one is designed basically for parents on how to feed their children for growth and development, immune support, mental clarity, and focus. And the bottom line is that when we're feeding our kids, we're creating their health foundation for when they're 50.
Right.
You know, so you look at these two little guys and you go, well, what does, that's a long time away. Why do I have to worry about 50? But we're creating their health.
Exactly.
And so we got to build
eating
the right
habits, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, absolutely.
You're right.
And their flavors.
Right.
You know, so something as simple, you and I were talking a little while ago about McDonald's, right?
Right.
So even though they've never eaten McDonald's, more than likely if we ate McDonald's today, they would say, yeah, it's pretty good, but they wouldn't crave it like
right.
the average child because their palate is different. So
exactly.
even we go to birthday parties now, and I kind of find this comical. She loves sweets, I think, a lot more than he does.
Uh-huh.
And she'll go for the big Mom, piece of cake.
No.
Okay, well, hold on. So she'll go for a big piece of cake. She'll eat two bites and say, Mom, I'm done.
Right.
And it's because it's too sweet. It's too much. It's too rich. It's too creamy. And her palate is just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Where another child would have devoured it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's true. What, do you feel you like sweets more?
I mean, a little more than Mila.
Okay. I mean, well, we're not comparing, man. It's
right.
fine.
Yeah,
you
it's
guys can
well,
both
but,
like
but
sweets.
Remember when we were in kindergarten and you were reading a book to us and... Mm. And a friend came out with a bunch of like bad food on his plate.
Oh yeah, you know, I've seen kids, and I think that was one of the things that stirred me on to writing that book. Is early on when he was in kindergarten, I would hear these parents that had no idea how to feed their children, and basically they were just giving them mac and cheese
right.
because it was quick and they needed to feed them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's not a pet that you just got to feed; you're
right.
growing something. Like
yeah, right.
there's a lot more to this. And we, I would be reading lunch. I would be reading books at lunch for the children, and I would see some horrible stuff come out.
Yeah,
and a lot of times it was for those same kids that their parents are like, oh, they're ADHD, or they're this, or they're hyperactive, or that's a bad kid. And I would see that kid eating so much sugar
right.
that it was overwhelming. And it's like, well, no wonder that poor kid has energy problems.
Right.
Honestly, you know, and I think too that they have to remember, most parents don't understand that it's not just table sugar. It's sugar, flour, dairy, and then, of course, for adults, the alcohol. All those things break down as a sugar. So something like mac and cheese actually
wow.
helps a child become addicted to sugar because our body interprets it as a sugar.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very interesting. See, I never would think of that,
yeah.
of that, you know? But so it's important to feed the kids some a good, balanced diet from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because
yes.
it is about eating habits. You know, I'm thinking like the way like I like my food very hot and stuff was because that's the way I was raised, you know? And things like that, you know, certain flavors, certain types of food, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, it stays with you, you know? It really does. With some people, they realize later if it wasn't that healthy the way they were raised, they start working out and fixing their nutrition.
Correct.
And then they start eating differently. But that takes training and some willpower.
Well,
right?
and you know, remember that the average person learned about food as a social thing. They didn't, most parents did not teach you that food is fuel, just like gasoline for your car.
Right.
We learned that food was, oh, it's a party. It's somebody's birthday.
Right.
It's an event. It's what we do as a family. It is some kind of an event of some sort or celebration. And so I always say that food is not, it's not the social thing. It's not comfort. It's strictly fuel.
Exactly.
And if we'd actually learned that food was fuel, we could start to play around with it where we could actually feel better, which is kind of a weird concept. I tell clients, I meet with corporations and I do big lectures all the time. And I look at everybody going, what if I could tell you that you could feel better? And the average person will say, well, wait a minute, I just got my physical and it's perfect and I eat really well and I exercise. What do you mean I can feel better?
Right.
And I'm like, but what if I could tell you could feel better?
Right.
Because it's not like something that you can see that I can say, hey, this is a better bottle of water than the bottle of water you had before.
Right.
And you could see it and say, oh, yeah, that bottle looks better. Okay, fine. But this is a weird, it's a concept that you can't see. But you could feel better if you just would actually play with your foods and figure out the right way to eat for you as opposed
right.
to me. And that right way of eating has to do with your proportions of your carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, and then the quality of all of those foods as well.
What do you mean the quality as far as what?
So, you know, I could say you want a meal with carbohydrates, proteins, and fats.
Okay.
And that plate could be mac and cheese.
Right.
And it could be maybe a McDonald's hamburger.
Yeah.
Sorry, McDonald's.
It's
and
okay.
And then it could be, I don't know, some candy on there. Right. And that would be carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, right?
Right.
Or the plate could be a beautiful piece of wild-caught salmon and some organic vegetables, and maybe it's drizzled with olive oil on it, and it's got some avocado on the side.
Yeah, sounds
that's
delicious.
Different. Yeah, that, but that it's the same composition, and in theory, they could be the same number of calories.
Right.
But the difference is that that plate with the vegetables and the salmon and the avocado is actually going to energize you,
right?
And it's going to make you feel healthier, and it's going to make you feel really clear, as opposed to the other plate, which is actually going to make you sleepy and groggy. You're not going to think clear.
That makes
sense.
It's going
to make it worse.
Yeah. Now, do you include meats, or are you like a vegetarian type of thing?
I would say for my own personal self, I'm right. closer to vegetarian, although I still would eat meat.
Right.
Chicken. I still, as long as the quality is really good.
Right.
I will still eat those things. But I feel better if I'm eating more vegetarian. It just makes me feel better.
Right.
But when I work with groups and do my lectures and all that, I encourage whatever it is that you like.
Right.
You know, but my whole pet peeve, per se, is about the quality of it. So there's a big difference between buying conventional eggs and buying a free range pasture fed egg.
Really?
There's a huge difference.
In what way?
So it has to do, one of the beauties of an egg is essential fatty acids, and that's what feeds our brain.
Okay.
Our brain thrives on essential fatty acids. So a conventional egg has very few essential fatty acids, where a pasture-raised, free-ranged, organic egg is packed with the essential fatty acids.
I see.
So it's about the nutrient content a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the same thing, the difference between a conventional, you know, piece of fruit, a conventional strawberry, for example.
Right.
So conventional strawberry has no skin on the outside, so it actually absorbs everything that gets thrown on it.
Yeah.
Strawberries, they tend to put a lot of pesticides because they get bugs really easy. So that strawberry is filled with pesticides.
With pesticides.
So an organic strawberry, no pesticides.
Wow.
Right? And so it's, and then the vitamin content of the organic strawberry, the soils don't have a lot of pesticides. So that soil is actually nutrient dense as opposed to the regular conventional soil.
I see.
So all of it has to do then with the final product.
So organic is pretty essential, you say,
I think so.
The quality of the food.
Yeah. Now there are certain things, I don't know, like garlic and onions that don't necessarily need to be sprayed. So you could actually get those conventional. Things with thicker skins, you could get away with getting conventional, but always remember that the soil isn't going to be as nutrient dense as an organic farm would be.
Right.
So you're still going to miss out a little bit.
So it's important to know where your food comes from.
Yes.
Because when we were hunters-gatherers, we did know where the food was coming from. But today, people have to go and hunt for us and make food for us and pick all the food. But it's important to know where it comes from, because, yeah, you go to the store, you don't know where anything comes from, you know? They tell you that the animals were not treated well and all that kind of stuff, you know? So then in the end you go, well, what am I eating here?
Yep. No, absolutely. And they're genetically modifying foods, which makes it even, you know, I call it ickier because it's just not very nice. They're doing so much to our foods that we don't know. And the FDA, if something is less than 10% of the ingredients, they actually don't have to put it on the ingredient list. So there's always things in your foods that you don't even know that are there.
Right. Especially processed food.
Correct.
And I mean, if you think about it, going back to that strawberry thing, it's like it's like feeding poison to your body.
That's what it sounded like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, I want to start buying organic then. You scared me to death now. So the book is The Family Kitchen. What do you have recipes and things
there's
like
recipes,
this?
There's recipes, yep.
And
there's recipes on my website as well. I love sharing recipes and food ideas with people.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your website?
It's aditalang.com. So that's aditalang.com.
That's simple enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you guys, so anything else you want to promote about the book, anything we didn't talk about? Because I want to ask you a couple things about your trip too and stuff like that. So
yeah, you know, I think just it's important that we start looking at our foods and we start realizing that foods are going to give us energy. And so when you're sitting there in your day, let's just say you work at your office. I have a client of mine, this was actually a few days ago, and she was just like, you know, I sit there and I crave sweets and I'm working at my desk and I said to her, wait, but you've got to think about it. It's not that your body needs the sweets. You're craving sweets because of something. You're bored. You're frustrated. You're anxious. I'm like, what were you? And she's like, I guess I was bored. And I'm like, okay, so then you need to acknowledge that you were eating because you were bored, not you were eating because you needed it.
But what if you like the flavor? Like if you want some chocolate or something, is that something that you can cut out too?
Well, if you, you know, there's a difference between liking a flavor, craving, or just feeling like you deserve it.
Right.
Okay? So if you really like the flavor of chocolate, you know, the root of chocolate is
right.
cacao.
The texture too, you know.
Yeah,
I love
so
the
you
texture.
Can get, there's some wonderful now organic raw chocolates that you can get that are actually antioxidants for the body. Mm. So, you know, I always tell people food should give you some kind of a nutritional return.
Right.
It's just like a financial investment. If I said, hey, give me, you know, Tam, give me all your money and I'm going to invest it for you, but there's no return. You'd be like, okay, she's a little weird. We're not going to go for this. But if I said there's going to be a return for you, that's right. what your food gives you a nutritional return. And I so see. You eat for that.
Yeah.
And you can find good chocolates that are going to give you a nutritional return. Mm.
But
they may not taste as good, like, though. I mean,
you
I
know,
like.
No, they still taste good.
I
they
like Lindt truffles.
But remember, Mom. Like, for like a bank secretary, they have like a bowl of candy in front of them. So it's like tempting.
I know it's tempting, but they shouldn't have the bowl of candy
yeah,
in
I mean,
front of them.
They should give you like free toasters instead. Like they used to.
I told teachers one time, it's one of my pet peeves is when a teacher gives out candy at schools.
Oh my
and
God.
So I had that. I know.
Yeah, it's not a reward.
It's
right?
not a reward. And the thing is that a child is going to be so much more grateful for like a really cool pencil or a really cool eraser. I mean, my daughter has gotten pencils and erasers from her teachers that she still has to this day.
Yeah.
And she still talks about when she got
That's
them, right?
That's true, yeah.
That's more impactful than a candy.
Right. That's true. And what happens on Halloween? Do you guys get the candy, then
yeah,
give
I
it
mean,
to... You can collect it and give it to other kids.
That's what, that's what we've done for years.
Really?
It's kind of like choose a couple yeah. of pieces of candy and then give the rest away.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, like,
see, that's cool. Not to go crazy.
Every year it's like...
Out of control.
Mom lets us have 3 pieces of candy and then throws it in the next batch for next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, right. Well, Adita Lang and your kids, Nash and Mila, thank you so much for joining us. You guys are amazing. I did want to ask you, so you guys are going to stay here for how much longer in L.A.?
Till August 6th.
August 6th. So you've got about, what, a couple weeks, right?
Oh, we got about a week and a half.
A week and a half,
yeah.
That's cool. And going back to Miami, how's the weather in Miami? Is it just as hot now?
It's just as hot. It's just more humid.
Yes, yeah, that's what they say,
humid.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes it seem hotter and heavier on you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when it's like 83 degrees here.
Right.
It feels cooler because there's no humidity.
Right, right.
But 83 degrees there feels like 104.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. But I like your thunderstorms in the middle of the day. Those are nice. I like rain, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
What's that, Mila? What did you want to say? Did you want to say anything? Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I mean, in Grenada, because my grandma, she's a travel agent.
Oh, okay.
So you went
to Grenada?
She has her boss in Grenada right now.
Okay.
It rains every afternoon.
Really?
So it's like, there's no need to like... wait until thunderstorms. It's just,
exactly.
It's raining every afternoon.
Wow, that's cool, man. I'd love that. I like rain. I don't know, because we don't get enough here. Well, I wish you a pleasant stay to all of you.
Thank you.
You're a great family, great company to be with. And so give your website again, Adita.
It's AditaLang.com.
Okay.
AditaLang.
And that's and if you look for Superpowers, you'll find it probably everywhere that books are sold.
There are Barnes & Nobles,
okay.
Amazon, iBooks.
That's pretty much everywhere.
I know. Nowadays it is.
Yeah, there's no bookstores anymore. You know, I found a physical Amazon bookstore. They have a couple of them. They opened one in Pacific Palisades, which is a mile from the beach, right? Beautiful area, beautiful this. And you go into an Amazon store, they don't have even half of the, a quarter of the inventory you'll find at Barnes & Noble. But it's kind of a different shopping experience. You don't need cash. You just have an account. If you're a Prime member, you just they scan it and that's it, you know?
Oh, wow.
And good prices, the Amazon prices and stuff. So you can't beat it, but they don't have a lot of them, you know, so sometimes you have to drive far. Our listeners know I love reading and I love books, you know, I always have about 5 lined up at the same time that I read, nonfiction mostly, but, Yeah, I need to stimulate the mind, you know. But I'm going to check out your book because, to be honest with you, I'm not as eating or living as healthy as you guys are. And perhaps I should, you know, as I get higher in age and all that. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for all the great information. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And also to you guys. Thank you for sitting here with us and being part of it. Beautiful kids you got.
Thank you, thank you.
Amazing, amazing. And to the to everybody out there, we wish you a very, very nice day. Ours is going to be not as hot today, which it doesn't feel hot anymore. So
yeah, it felt great this
morning. Not like yesterday, right?
Yeah, yesterday it felt so much cooler.
Better. Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, anyway, so yeah, enjoy your stay. Everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.